Okay, hey brothers, today is Friday, August 30th. We're on study 7 of Jeremiah. Go ahead and open up your Bible to the prophet Yirmiyahu, chapter 5. And can someone get us started at Jeremiah chapter 5 by reading for us verses 1 through 9.
Go up and down the streets of Jerusalem, look around and consider, search through her squares. If you can find but one person who deals honestly and seeks the truth, I will forgive this city. Although they say, as surely as the Lord lives, still they are swearing falsely. O Lord, do not your eyes look for the truth. You struck them, but they felt no pain. You crushed them, but they refused correction. They made their faces harder than stone and refused to repent. I thought, these are only the poor, they are foolish, for they do not know the way of the Lord, the requirements of their God. So I will go after the leaders and speak to them. Surely they know the way of the Lord, the requirements of their God. But with one accord, they too had broken off the yoke and torn off the bonds. Therefore a lion from the forest will attack them, a wolf from the desert will ravage them, a leopard will lie in wait near their towns to tear to pieces any who venture out. For the rebellion is great, and their backsliding many. Why should I forgive you? Your children have forsaken me and sworn by gods that are not gods. I supplied all their needs, yet they committed adultery and thronged to the houses of prostitutes. They are well-fed, lusty stallions, each neighing for another man's wife. Should I not punish them for this, declares the Lord? Should I not avenge myself on such a nation as this?
Excellent. Thanks, Paul. So yeah, check out verse 1. And look at question 1. On what condition will the Lord withhold his judgment?
If he can find one honest person.
If he can find, yeah, my version says, if there's one who does justice, who seeks truth, then I will pardon her. This would be Jerusalem. Does that remind you of anything in the Bible other than Jeremiah?
Sodom and Gomorrah.
That's exactly right. Yeah. This is exactly what God, Abraham pleaded with God about with regard to Sodom and Gomorrah. He had a nephew. He had a family in town. And he said, look, if you can find five righteous, it got down to one. How many were righteous in Sodom and Gomorrah? Not a one. How many are righteous in Judah and Jerusalem? Not a one. Yeah, verse 2, although they say, well, here's the craziest thing about it. Although they say, and these are the religious folks, as the Lord lives, here's what the Lord says about these religious folk. They swear falsely. They're liars. Verse 3, O Lord, do not your eyes look for truth. This is Jeremiah responding to the Lord in his judgment. Have you smitten them, but they did not weaken? You've consumed them, but they refuse to take correction. They've made their faces harder than rock, and they refuse to repent. So,
sounds like James Comey.
Yeah, exactly. Or people that hear truth and just decide to keep doing the same thing over and over again. It's just the Bible. What do I care? My church does it this way. These people, these religious folks just didn't, no, I'm just continuing to do it my way. I don't care what the Lord says. Now, check out verse 4. How does Jeremiah respond to the Lord in verse 4? And this is actually verse 4. Can't get confusing who's speaking, but verse 4, this is Jeremiah speaking.
He's defending in a way.
Yeah, and that's exactly what's going on. Yeah, Jeremiah says, and remember, it's logical that he'd defend them because he's one of them. You know, you don't want, you know, these are his people. And Jeremiah says, then I said, they are only the poor. They are foolish, for they do not know the way of the Lord or the ordinance of their God. Verse 5, here is Jeremiah continuing. I'll go to the great and I'll speak to them, for they know the way of the Lord and the ordinance of their God. So my version has a quote. It depends on your version, but the editors have put closed quotation marks in the middle of verse 5. So that would be Jeremiah speaking to the Lord. And what Jeremiah basically saying is here is, look, Lord, you got a point, but that's just the regular folk. The leaders, you know, the religious establishment, they know how to keep the law. And so let me go to them and they'll teach better. Because the religious establishment, they actually, you know, yeah, the poor people, the folks that are the followers, they're screwed up, but the leadership, they got it under control.
So the word great means the leaders.
Yeah, that's exactly right. This is what Jeremiah argues to the Lord. Just let the big guys, let the guys on the stage, let them continue to do their job. And here's how the Lord replies in the middle of verse 5. Huh. They too. Who? The guys on stage. With one accord have broken the yoke and burst the bonds. These guys are worse than the followers because they're leading the followers into the deception and the wickedness. And so the Lord replies to Jeremiah, yeah, actually, you've got it all wrong. What you think is true is actually backwards. It's the leader's faults, not the followers' faults. Now, it's actually both faults, because the followers are going to be judged because they're following bad leaders. They don't hold anyone accountable. They continue to do what they've always done. And so here's the judgment, verse 6. Therefore, a lion from the forest will slay them. This is the leaders and the followers. A wolf of the deserts will destroy them. A leopard is watching their cities. Everyone who goes out from them will be torn in pieces. Why? Well, here's why. Here's what the Lord says in verse 6. Because their transgressions are many. These guys have heaped upon themselves. These religious folks have heaped upon themselves. Even though they claim they're doing the church thing, they're doing the religious thing, they've heaped upon themselves so much wickedness in terms of their deception that they're going to finally reap what they have sown. In verse 7, why should I pardon you? This is the Lord. Your sons have forsaken me. This is him speaking to the nation, and sworn by those who are not gods. In other words, they just do, they don't really care about me. They claim to care about me. They do the rest of what everyone else is doing. And here's the worst part in verse 7. When I'm the one that fed him to the full, I'm the one that actually takes care of these people. But they commit adultery. They march into the harlot's house. Again, verse 8 gets into the sexual imagery, which is rife in Jeremiah. These people, they're well-fed, lusty horses, and they're all looking to get it on. Verse 9, here's the Lord. Rhetorically speaking, why shouldn't I punish these people? They deserve it more than everyone. Why? Because they're the elect. They have the Bible. The people that don't have the Bible, they deserve it less than you guys do. You guys should know better. You have revelation, yet you don't do it. So, yeah, not fun stuff. But you'll see these glimpses of Jeremiah trying to advocate on behalf of the people, just like Abraham did.
Yep.
And it's understandable.
Moses.
Could someone read verses 10 through 14?
Go up through a vine rows and destroy, but do not execute a complete destruction. Strip away your branches, for they are not the Lord's. For the house of Israel and the house of Judah dealt very treacherously with me, declares the Lord. They have lied about me and said, not he. Misfortune will not come on us, and we will not see sword or famine. And the prophets are as wind, and the word is not in them, thus it will be done to them. Therefore, thus says the Lord, the God of hosts, because you have spoken this word, behold, I am making my words in your mouth fire, and the people would, and it will consume them.
Excellent. Thanks, Joe. So, yeah, take a look at verse 10. This is the Lord again speaking about his chosen people. Go up through her vine rows and destroy, but do not execute a complete destruction. Now, that's going to be important. I mean, this massive judgment is going to be coming. And this is, you know, 620 BC. So we're still a good 40 years away from the big beatdown. But this is what the Lord's telling Jeremiah. This is what he's got to tell these people. A major destruction is coming. But then he says, but not a complete destruction. Again, so the judgment's heavy, but he's saying it's not complete. And we'll look at that again here. Lord goes on to say, strip away her branches, for they are not the Lord's. That's great. In other words, there's this superstructure of religiosity these guys have put around themselves, but it's not his. It's not his. These religious protections they've got, the Lord's saying, let's burn this mother down. This ain't mine. Verse 11, for the house of Israel and the house of Judah have dealt treacherously with me, declares the Lord. Now, again, remember, by this time, Israel is gone. Right? When he talks about it, and this can get confusing, but in the context, Israel is the northern kingdom, Judah is the southern kingdom. The northern kingdom has disappeared from world history. But God still knows where these descendants of the 10 tribes are at. Even though there's a political entity, they're gone. He still is speaking to them. And he says here in verse 11, for the house of Israel and house of Judah have dealt treacherously. Hello. Verse 12, they've lied about the Lord and said, not he, misfortune will not come on us, and he will not send sword or famine. These religious people, well-intended, wanted to give people good news, but they were liars. This is what God's saying about the religious folk, these leaders. They want to tell you about your best life ever, and that's okay. I mean, we can look to the scripture for encouragement, because there's a lot of encouragement, but not at the expense of truth. And so God's saying, these guys, they speak in my name and say, we're protected, but you're not. You're not protected. And then you have here in verse 13. By the way, this is the people now responding to the Lord. And this is hard to follow. But this is actually the viewpoint from the people now in verse 13. The prophets are as wind, and the word is not in them. Thus it will be done to them. Now, what you have in verse 13 is a reaction by the religious leadership. We're telling everyone that things are going to work out and it's going to be fine. In the midst of all that wickedness, the Lord sent righteous people like Micah and Amos. These guys were not popular. These guys were not the people speaking truth were not popular folks. And these guys came to them like Micah and Amos to the northern and Hosea to the northern kingdom. And you know what? These guys are just a bunch of bad news Debbie Downers. This is how the religious folks responded to these folks, to these guys that were by mercy sent by God. And they even said to guys like Micah and Hosea, these guys are like the wind. The word of the Lord's not in them. What they're preaching is going to happen to us is going to happen to them. So what you have in verse 13 is the religious establishment actually angry at those who are telling truth and saying, these guys suck. So the Lord's just laying this out for Jeremiah. And verse 14, therefore, as a result, because they persecute the ones that I actually bring them to try to help them, therefore, what for? As a result of the religious establishment being so wicked, thus says the Lord, verse 14. Whenever you see a thus says the Lord, it's not good, generally. The God of hosts, because you've spoken this word, behold, I am making... So, God's saying, because these religious leaders are such jokers and posers, he says now to Jeremiah in verse 14, therefore, Jeremiah, I am making my words in your mouth fire. And that these people would, and it will consume them. Ooh. Now, the one thing, again, the one thing I was worried about us studying Jeremiah, it's just heavy, heavy stuff. And it's no fun to read. But imagine how much less fun it would be to live it. And that's what Jeremiah did. So the one thing I enjoy about our deep study of the Word of God, and we stay focused in one book or one section, it gives us time beyond a Sunday to really think about what the Lord's saying. And I'm just going to share. Let me just share, get personal with you. I've really just been focusing the last few weeks on who Jeremiah was and who he is and what he got stuck with. You know, this is a good 40 years before anything really bad happened. And he had to tell people news that no one wanted to hear for 40 years. And he was probably called the false prophet because none of the stuff he predicted happened within a generation. Could you imagine being Jeremiah? I mean, here's a guy that just he wanted to marry, wanted to have a few kids, send him to private school, have a nice business, and have a good meal every weekend. But he didn't get any of that. He got stuck telling people that God loved that you better turn this around. And so here's why I can read this and stay sane, is that as bad as it is for us to read it, and as much as it sucks, and how much there's so many better things to read for us to be encouraged, I love doing it for the sake of Jeremiah. Because he had to live it. As much as it sucks for me to read it and have us teach it, it was way worse for him. We got it good. Now, the other thing good about Jeremiah, because he didn't want this. He did not, you know, we read up front, he did not want this. He just was like, look, choose someone else to do this. Yet he was obedient. He didn't give the Lord the middle finger.
Similar to Paul.
Exactly right. Now, here's the good news in all this, and here's the good news for us, because we got to suffer with this for a few more weeks. We got to read all this. And we got to come back on a Friday morning. Oh, God, pray this again. Here's the good news. And it's good news for Jeremiah then, it's good news for Jeremiah now. There's a reward for obedience.
Amen to that.
And
so why 40 years? Why does God allow the false prophets to, for lack of a better word, be successful for so long?
It's a great question.
I mean, so if you're the people and you're watching Jeremiah prophesy and nothing happens for 35 years, let's say, and you watch these priests, these leaders, whatever, and they prophesy, and if you're sitting there in the room, you feel like, obviously, this
confused.
Guy's wrong. Yeah.
Right. Well, you got two people saying opposite things, and they both seem like they should be respected, shouldn't they?
Right, 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 right.
I agree.
I just.
I totally agree.
It seems like a long time to get confirmation.
I totally agree. That's why it's so heartbreaking. Because imagine how Jeremiah felt.
Right. Yeah.
And I bet you any money, Jeremiah the whole time was thinking, maybe I'm losing it. Maybe I'm not really. Maybe these people are right about me. Maybe I'm the one that's off. Jeremiah had to be thinking that a number of times.
But it seems to be a theme with God. Abraham had to wait 25 years to have the son.
David.
Moses, 40 years. 40 years wandering out there homeless.
That's right. The desert, the back
dirt,
end of the desert.
The
right.
Sand,
that's exactly
eating,
right.
Who knows what?
Yeah. Totally true. Yeah,
loyalty is big with God. I think.
It's true, and so yeah, this is why as painful it is to read Jeremiah and to get people together to read it together. Again, this is where I take hope, and is that this is not for naught, but it's a good lesson. It's good for us to put ourselves in the shoes of people back in the day, because when we look, you know, Saint Jeremiah, you know, we can look at all the stuff now from the vantage point where we're at, and it all works out. But it didn't look like it was going to work out for Jeremiah for a long time. And so he had to deal with a lot of abuse. And so why would God do that to someone he loved? That's a great question. But, again, the good news is this. Jeremiah is not without reward. There is reward. I mean, reward upon reward for doing the right thing, in spite of all the resistance you're going to deal with. And let's go to Luke chapter 13.
Another one's Moses building a boat in the middle of
Noah, yeah.
No,
that's exactly right. Amen. You know, if you're dealing with a calling that sucks, and some of you are, you know, not everyone wants to be obedient because it's not fun. but here's the good news. Stick with it. Stick with it. Here's Luke chapter 13. Take a look at that.
I think there's good perks to the calling, just a good, you know, valuable calling, but the ridicule's tough.
Yeah, and I think that we might have been able to encourage Jeremiah back in 620 BC by saying that, but he probably would have said, well, like what? What are the perks?
Do you think a few people listened to Jeremiah?
Definitely.
I would say
no doubt about it.
So,
because not only, yes, definitely. I mean, there are always in every generation someone's listening.
Right. A remnant. I would answer that, Chris, never alone. You're never alone.
It's true.
He felt God's presence, and many people don't.
Elijah felt the same way. Elijah was suicidal. And it took the Lord to say, stiffen up.
I think a lot of these guys were at that point. But they never were given more than they could take, but they were taken right up to the drop.
And again, I really meditate on who Jeremiah was and who he is, because he's alive right now. Jeremiah is alive right now. And this is where I'm going to right now. The lesson I'm getting out of Jeremiah isn't so much, you know, here's what's going to happen to America or here's what's going to happen to the church, which I believe is the case. This is what real life is like. This is what real life is. This is the real price of obedience, and it's not easy. But be encouraged. And there are other people out there that are dealing with hard stuff, and it's not, you know, fun. But there's a reward. That's where we want to go to.
Chris, needless to say, on a much smaller scale, all of us are mental. All of us are a smaller Jeremiah. Because when we're talking to a person who doesn't know Christ, and we're talking to that person and trying to bring him to Christ, that individual looks at us, or looks at me, because I know this has happened to me, like, you're a little jerk.
Yeah, I agree. I don't agree. And I would say it this way. Jeremiah's the church people too. Because when you tell church people about the Bible, often they don't want to hear it, and you're looked at as a jerk, mm-hmm. a Debbie Downer. So here's where I want to go. Check out chapter 13, verse 23. Actually, verse 22. This is Jesus. He was passing through from one city and village to another, teaching and proceeding on his way to Jerusalem. Verse 23. And someone said to him being Jesus, "Lord, are there just a few who are being saved?" Because Jesus wasn't very popular back in the day among the elect. And so someone asked the obvious question, how come this movement's not bigger than it should be? And verse 24, "Strive to enter through the narrow door, for many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able." Verse 25, "Once the head of the house gets up and shuts the door, and you begin to stand outside and knock on the door, saying, 'Lord, open up to us,' then he will answer and say to you, 'I don't know you.' Verse 26, then you will begin to say, 'Wait a second, we ate and drank in your presence and taught, and you taught in our streets.' Verse 27, and he will say, 'I tell you, I do not know where you're from. Depart from me, you evildoers.' Verse 28, in that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Now he's speaking to the religious establishment specifically right here. At the same time, these guys are going to face something that they never thought they'd face. He says this. These guys are, take a verse 28. "When you see who? Abraham. You're going to be in a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth, looking at the very people you propose to be adherents to. You're going to be in a place of weeping and you religious folks. You're going to be a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth, and you're going to see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the Messianic kingdom. But you yourselves, outside of it." Verse 29, "And they're going to come from the east and the west, from the north and the south, and they're going to recline at the table in the Messianic kingdom." Verse 30, "Behold, some of the last who will be first, and some of the first who will be last." By the way, if you're looking for a church, don't go to First Pres, go to Last Pres. So the bottom line is that the Lord, Jesus had to confront religious people and tell them that, and here's the good news for Jeremiah. These prophets, as bad as Jeremiah had it, Jeremiah is going to be in the kingdom. Jeremiah is going to enjoy the kingdom. And by the way, for us to get it into the kingdom, I believe we'll be able to talk to Jeremiah and, you know, learn from him still probably. So as bad as it was for Jeremiah, and it was bad, and as bad as it sucked for him, his obedience paid off. And it will pay off. He will be in a kingdom. And these religious fools, they're going to be looking at him from the outside and thinking, "My God, what did I do?" It's a very sobering place to consider when you think, could that be me? Because none of these people Jesus was preaching to thought this was them. They were in church like everyone else. How? What is it that made these guys go into hell and me and the prophets and people being gathered from the east to the west, probably who's had a lot of ministries like Jeremiah, being able to enjoy the kingdom, but the people have thought they were on the right track and in on the outside? That's something you're going to have to consider. And your church friends and your family members are going to have to consider. This is what I'm taking out of Jeremiah personally. Just sharing my personal viewpoint. Because the reality is Jeremiah's calling sucked. And that's why no one wants to read Jeremiah. That's why I don't want to read Jeremiah. But it's encouraging to me to know that at least I don't have to live it. He had to live it. And he's going to have a much better gig in the next world than I will.
In verse 29, that's inclusive. That's including the Gentiles, correct? From the east?
Good question. Yeah. I think that it will include Gentiles, but he's speaking directly about, in this verse, in my opinion, this is the elect. These are Jews that he's going to be gathering. When he gathers back into the land, as we read in Jeremiah, will happen. The nation of Israel to enter into the kingdom. Not the unbelieving Israel, believing right. Israel.
Chris, I would also say seldom are the celebrities of the Bible chose their path to stardom. They, most of them didn't want that. They envisioned something else.
That's a good point.
And yeah. So I think many times our celebrity or Christian maturity or biggest fear sphere of influence is a tragedy we've had. Who wants to talk about that all the time? Who wants to talk about a child dying? Who wants to talk about a relationship problem? Nobody. But yet, that's many times our greatest bridge.
Good point. Let's come back to Jeremiah chapter 5. Check out verse 15. So basically verse 14, he says to Jeremiah, your words are like fire and it's going to consume these people. Now again, Jeremiah spent a lot of time looking like an idiot before this really came to pass. Verse 15, now here's what the Lord says. Behold, I'm bringing a nation against you from afar, O house of Israel, declares the Lord. It's an enduring nation. It's an ancient nation, a nation whose language you do not know, nor can you understand what they say. Basically, what he's telling them is Babylon's on its way. And this is Jeremiah again. You know, he doesn't want his peeps to... Who wants their friends to die? You want them to listen. But the Lord says, no, this is coming. By the way, when you get a chance sometime, read Revelation 17. And so he goes on. And again, we're not going to read every single verse because of time. Verse 16, verse 17, verse 18, verse 19. More judgment. Now check out verse 18. Yet even in those days, declares the Lord. Now he's talking about when this all goes down. This is important to understand about what we read about the nation of Israel. Because they get judged pretty hard. Why? Because they have more knowledge than anyone else. They're more accountable. Verse 18. Yet even in those days, declares the Lord, I will not make you a complete destruction. Don't ever forget that. As bad as the chastening always is, it's never total. There's always a remnant. Why? Because he made a covenant with this nation. They're never going to go away. Let's actually keep going here. So I'm going to read verses 20 through 23.
Declare this in the house of Jacob. Proclaim it in Judah. Hear this, O foolish and senseless people, who have eyes but not see, who have ears but not hear. Do not fear me, declares the Lord. Do not tremble before me. I'm sorry. Do you not tremble before me? I place the sand as the boundary for the sea, a perpetual barrier that it cannot pass. Though the waves toss, they cannot prevail. Though they roar, they cannot pass over it. But this people has a stubborn and rebellious heart.
Excellent. Perfect. Thanks, Barry. So, yeah, you now the Lord says, Jeremiah, declare this to Judah. So now I'm speaking specifically to the southern kingdom, who's still going. They're still rocking and rolling at this time. And verse 20 says, now hear this, O foolish and senseless people. This is important. who have eyes to see, but what?
Don't see.
And have ears. Their ability to hear is fine, but what's going on?
Not listening.
They're not listening. The exact same thing Jesus had to say about these, the religious folks. Man, people with eyes to see. In fact, they even read the Bible. They actually read the black and white. But they don't see. Ears to hear what's being read and taught. Yet won't listen. And the Lord was like, these people have every... I didn't give any other nation my revelation. And it's not because they can't see or can't hear. It's that they won't see. And they won't hear. That's the problem. And he says in verse 22, don't you fear me? And there's a lot of people that claim to fear the Lord. There's not a lot of people that do. And by the way, that includes me. I want to say I fear the Lord. I'm trying to live in the fear of the Lord. But a lot of times I just do stuff without any fear of the Lord. There's a price to pay for that. And he goes on here in verse 23. This people has a stubborn and rebellious heart. They've turned aside and departed. And I'm going to tell you right now, the question becomes, why? What gets people to a point where they can hear and see, but they won't listen?
They want what they want.
And I think it comes down to, it's not as easy to figure out as you might think. I think it comes down to what Barry says. Put yourself in these people's shoes. You got the people that are deemed to know the Lord and in positions of respect telling them, the common folks, things about God that just aren't true. And these people are respected. And you spend enough time listening to these people, and then someone else comes along and says, hold up. Let's see what the Lord has told us in the past and compare it to what we're hearing now. It's very easy to fall into a pattern of reading something and coming to a conclusion about what it says without really considering what it says. Why? Because you've been raised week after week hearing someone tell you about what it says and thinking, well, maybe what they told me what this says is true, when it's not even what it says. You just jump to these conclusions about what it says because that's what you've heard every Sunday. And you get to a point where when you start to tell people, are you sure that's what it says? Anger will rise up in them. Are you challenging my very upbringing? And you get to a point with people that they have eyes to see, but they just will not see.
Preach.
And they actually can hear what's being said, but they're not going to hear. And the elect were engaged in this. And Jeremiah had to deal with it. I guarantee you, Jeremiah was bald. He probably pulled out his hair way, way early on. And it's going on right now. It is going on right now. And you think, these people claim to know Christ. I got to believe them for what they say. And yes, you should. You know, you got to believe people's claims. But you know what? There are so many lost church people. I mean, you got to have a heart for church people because they're being led by the most wicked people with their own agendas, their own businesses. And I had to come to a place in my life where I had to say, you know what? I'm either part of the problem or part of the solution. And I'm going to be accountable, not to these guys, but to God one day.
That's right.
And I better get with the program, not their program, but his program. Check out verse 24.
Let's go.
They don't say in their heart, let us know, now fear the Lord our God, who gives us rain in the season, both in the autumn and the rain, the spring rain, who keeps us prepared for us the appointed weeks of the harvest. Verse 25, your iniquities have turned these away and their sins have withheld good from you. For wicked men are found among my people. They watch like fowlers lying in wait. They set a trap. You know, again, These religious guys were the very wickedness themselves, but it's easy to fool the common folks because they looked religious and they said all the right things. But they're foulers lying in wait. And by the way, this didn't change with the new covenant. Paul said, you know, as much as we're all freaked out about homosexuals and Muslims, the people you got to worry about are the people that look like sheep and talk like sheep, but they're wolves. Inside, they're wolves. And we have a hard time, believe me. I'm so naive. I'm one of the most naive people you'll ever meet. And that's weird because I've committed a lot of sin in my life. People that have lived in the world and been sinful usually get over that early. I never did. Especially when I walked into the church, I thought everyone believes in God in the church. Everyone's out for my good and your good. It's just not true. Don't be naive. Don't be naive. Just because someone says something nice and tickling to the ear doesn't mean they're necessarily for you. And it doesn't mean you have to treat them like, you know, my God, we're being infiltrated and we got to kill these people and weed them out. Don't do that. But just live. Be wise as serpents, but gentle as doves. Let's take a look at verse 30 and 31. Could someone read verse 30 and 31?
An appalling and horrible thing has happened in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests rule at their direction. My people love to have it so, but what will you do when the end comes?
Excellent. So good. So good. Thanks, Jesus. Verse 30 and 31, check out question 3. How do the leaders act? How does the leadership act?
Yeah,
falsely. And in their own self-interest and on their own authority. Question 4, how do the followers respond to this?
They love it.
They love it. Why? Because it's dependable, it's secure, and it's comfortable.
They want to hear.
Here's God's question to these guys and to us. But what are you going to do when this comes to an end? This isn't going to go on forever. It's exactly what God told Jeremiah to tell these people. You love it? You love it. You love it. What are you going to do when it comes to an end? Because it's coming to an end. This isn't going to go on forever. Now, by the way, in Jeremiah's mind, this is going on forever. 40 freaking years is a long time.
Yeah.
But as much as the people love the bull, S-H-I-T, they're going to be accountable for it. There's accountability at the end of it. And here's the question of God. What are you going to do when this comes to its end? It's going to end. And that brings us to chapter 6. Go ahead, Len.
Verse 31, it says, the prophets prophesy falsely. Can you explain that to me, please?
Yeah. So for as many as the guys like Micah, Hosea, Jeremiah, Isaiah were out there trying to say,
yeah,
here's the real deal. They were outnumbered 50-1 by guys that said, these guys are liars.
Gotcha.
Here's what God says. It's good. You're chosen. It's going to work out. You don't have to change a bit. Keep going. Now, in the day, going to Barry's point, if you're just listening to two parties, how do you decide who's telling the truth and who's lying? That's a great question. I'll tell you this. You're in a worse position now as a follower than you were in Jeremiah's day. Why? Because you have way more revelation than Jeremiah's. The guys in Jeremiah's, that the followers today are 10 times more accountable than these guys. Why? There's only one reason why. You have this. They didn't have this. You know how, and it's going to be this way. When we get into the next world, you know how the folks in Jeremiah's day that made it are going to look at us and say, you know, you guys could walk around with this.
They didn't have it.
We didn't have that. We would have killed for that. And not only that, you guys had what we never had. You guys had the God of creation in your heart available to you. All you had to do was wake up in the morning and say, fill me. You walked around looking for your 401ks and trying to build a new, flip a new house. The followers today are so much more accountable. And is it as bad as it was for these guys? You better have a heart for church people. Because there's a can of whoop-ass coming that's nothing like these guys saw. And it's, and that's how you deal with this. Because you can ask yourself, and I know it's, the hour's going to end, guys. Don't worry. No. This will be over soon. So, you know,
too much for you.
See you Monday. So is, again, you have to ask yourself, it's logical to do. How do you figure this out back in the day? And God never gives you more than you can handle. There was a way to figure it out. There had been previous revelation. It was just a matter of comparing and contrasting. And it's the same thing for today. We've got the tools to figure it out. Don't be one of those people with eyes to see that refuses to see. Don't be one of those people with ears to hear that will not hear. Don't do it. Don't do it. Chapter 6. Check out verse 1. Flee for safety, O sons of Benjamin, from the midst of Jerusalem. Now blow the trumpet in Tekoa and raise a signal over Beth Hakerem, for evil looks down from the north and a great destruction. So this is the Lord, again, telling, continuing to Jeremiah, you know, it's going to get bad. It's gonna, these guys are going to come down. They're going to whoop everyone's ass. Verse 2, jump down to verse 6. Thus says the Lord of hosts, cut down her trees, cast up a siege against Jerusalem. This is the city to be punished. This is the capital of the world, by the way. This is the throne of David. This is where Jesus will reign. But back in the day, there's what God said about this city. This city is to be punished. Why? Because there's oppression. By who? The leadership. Check out verse 8. Be warned, O Jerusalem, or I shall be alienated from you and make a desolation, a land not inhabited. And again, this sounds bad and it sounds like it's imminent, but the reason Jeremiah is there in the first place is because it can be prevented. Jeremiah's in the first place to talk to someone who's going to listen, even though most people won't. Could someone read verses 9 through 15?
This is what the Lord Almighty says. Let them glean the remnant of Israel as thoroughly as a vine. Pass your hand over the branches again like one gathering grapes. To whom can I speak and give warning? Who will listen to me? Their eyes are closed so they cannot hear. The word of the Lord is offensive to them. They find no pleasure in it. But I am full of the wrath of the Lord, and I cannot hold it in. Pour it out on the children in the street and on the young men gathered together. Both husband and wife will be caught in it, and the old, those weighed down with years. Their houses will be turned over to others, together with their fields and their wives, when I stretch out my hand against those who live in the land, declares the Lord. From the least to the greatest, all are greedy for gain. Prophets and priests alike all practice deceit. They dress the wound of my people as though it were not serious. Peace, peace, they say, when there is no peace. Are they ashamed of their loathsome conduct? No, they have no shame at all. They do not even know how to blush, so they will fall among the fallen. They will be brought down when I punish them, says the Lord.
Thanks, Jeff. Yeah, more bad news. Verse 10, whom shall I speak and give a warning that they may hear? Their ears are closed. They can't listen. It's gotten so bad that the actual word of God has been reported, and they don't, it's, get it away from me. And they don't delight in the word of them anymore. They'd rather hear something else than the word of the Lord. They'd rather watch a movie. They'd rather, you know, they'd rather do anything else than really study the word. And here's Jeremiah, poor Jeremiah. I'm full of the wrath of the Lord. I can't, why do I have to hold all this in? And then the Lord, pour it out. It's coming out. This is the wrath. Check out verse 13. From the least of them, even to the greatest of them, everyone's greedy for gain. All these religious folks are greedy. Now, again, every single one, no. I mean, this is hyperbolic. There was really a remnant. There were righteous people in the midst, but generally, everyone sucks. in the Lord's eyes. And why? Well, because look, even the leaders deal falsely. Again, they claim that this is their standard, but they're liars. How do you tell? By what they say? No. By comparing what they do with what they say. Were they ashamed by this behavior in verse 15? They weren't ashamed at all of it. Check out verse 16 through 21. Thus says the Lord, stand by the ways and see and ask for the ancient paths where the good way is and walk in it, and you'll find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it. And I, verse 17, and I set a watchman over you, saying, listen to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, not going to listen. Verse 18, therefore hear, O nations, and know, O congregation, what is among them. Verse 19, hear, O earth, behold, I'm bringing disaster on this people, the fruit of their plans, because they haven't listened to my words. And as for my law, they've rejected it also. Verse 20, for what purpose does frankincense come to me from Sheba, and the sweet cane from a distant land? Your burnt offerings are not acceptable. Your sacrifices are not pleasing to me. Verse 21, therefore says the Lord, behold, I am laying a stumbling block for this people, and they're going to stumble again, stumble against them. Fathers and sons together, neighbors and friends will die. Yeah. Now, I love verse 16. And by the way, interestingly enough, you know, I have these index cards from years past where I write encouraging words from the Bible. And as I, we've been studying Jeremiah recently, this is one of my index cards, verse 16. But let me ask you a question. As I recorded this verse on my index card, do you think I recorded the whole verse? I didn't. And it's a good verse, but I don't have the full verse memorized because I didn't write the full verse down. Verse 16 says this, thus says the Lord, stand by your ways, see and ask for the ancient paths where the good way is, and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. And that is good news, and it's true. It is so true, and that's what's on my index card. I probably wrote there 20 years ago and memorized. But in my study of Jeremiah, I had to be reminded that wasn't the verse. The verse is this. But they said, F you. The religious folks said, F you. Not doing it that way. And again, I would just say, if you think that's not going on today, think again. The good news for those who have ears to hear, walk in the ancient paths. Walk in his way, and you will find rest for your soul. It's going to be a weary walk, probably, but there is rest and there is reward. Verse 10, again, this is the, I'm sorry, verse 17. And I set a watchman over you, saying, listen to the sound of the trumpet. In other words, the Lord's just basically telling these guys, I've been trying to warn you guys. I've been trying to, like, wake you up. But no one cares. And so here's what's going to go down in verse 19. I'm bringing disaster on these religious folks. And it's the fruit. By the way, this disaster, verse 19, Jeremiah, let me disabuse you of any assumptions you're making. This is the fruit of their plans. So you can blame it on me all you want, but this is what you've asked for, and this is what you're going to get. Why in verse 19? Because they have not listened to what I say. And again, just coming back to this day and age, this is your authority. This is your authority. Don't be caught in a situation where you're playing a game. You're walking a walk that you think is the right walk, but it's not in accordance with this. It's a dangerous place. Why? Because verse 20 says, what purpose does frankincense from Sheba make to me? In other words, these people were spending a lot of money on some nice offerings and some nice sacrifices. These people were sparing no expense for the show. But it was a show. Comply with the law all you want. Do your sacrifices. Make them even the most expensive. The end of verse 20, but they're not pleasing to me. Why? Because these guys were all engaged in the show, the outside appearance. They really, when it came down to it, they really didn't care what he thought or what he felt or what he said. And in verse 21, therefore, what for? As a result of this behavior, I'm laying a stumbling block before these people. And the end of verse 21, neighbor and friend is going to die. Fun. Let me just finish chapter 6 because we'll keep moving in Jeremiah. We got 4 minutes. Verse 22, thus says the Lord, behold, the people is coming from the northland, and a great nation will be aroused from the remotest parts of the earth. Judgment's coming. It's going to come in the form of Babylon. Jump down to verse 27. I have made you an assayer and a tester among my people, that you may know and assay their way. This is God speaking to Jeremiah. Then verse 28, all of them are stubbornly rebellious, going about as a table bearer. They are bronze and iron. They, all of them, are corrupt. Verse 29, the bellows blow fiercely. The lead is consumed by fire. In vain, the refining goes on, but the wicked are not separated. In other words, there's no separation of the dross going on here. In verse 30, they call them rejected silver because the Lord has rejected them. So, question 5 in your worksheet here. What role has the Lord assigned to Jeremiah? An assayer. Some of your versions may have a better translation than that, but to assay, this is the role that Jeremiah stuck with.
Examiner.
An examiner, yeah. The dictionary, here's the definition of assay: an examination and determination as to the characteristics or quality of a matter. So what God's telling Jeremiah is that you are in the role of examining the quality of my people. And you're finding out, like I'm telling you, that they suck. I love them, but they suck because they've made a decision to suck. And question 6, how does the Lord describe the nation of Israel? This is all of his elect in verse 28. All of them are stubbornly rebellious. Now, again, this is very hyperbolic. Of course, there was a righteous remnant. Jeremiah was one of them. But of all these guys, of all these folks, these masses of folks, church people, that are playing the game, they suck. They really, really suck. It doesn't mean all these guys suck. There were some good ones, but that's the judgment of the Lord at the time of Jeremiah. And Jeremiah had to bear witness to it. We're done with chapter 6. That's the good news. The bad news is we read chapter 7 next week. With that, we're done.